PM Tampa Bay. I'm Ryan Gorman. With me this evening, James Berlander on the board. Yesterday, to start the show, I talked about the good, the bad, and the ugly of the coronavirus response. And specifically, when I talked about the ugly, it was less about what's actually happened and more about what could happen that could become very ugly. Basically, we're running up against a couple of big deadlines in this country, and Congress is slowly starting to work on a phase four coronavirus relief package. Now, to me, there was no question that we were going to need another relief package. And the fact that this is getting thrown together this late in the game, with federal unemployment benefits set to expire on July 31st, doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Not only that, part of this package is going to include funding for schools to help them deal with the coronavirus pandemic and its impact on getting kids back into the classroom. That's something that should have been done long ago. I mean, school is going to be starting up in a couple of weeks. Now, here in the Tampa Bay area, it's been delayed in different counties and in other places across the country. They're going to start off with virtual learning, but we'd certainly be in a better position to potentially send kids back if some of that funding was put forward much earlier in the game, allowing schools to have some resources to potentially make things safer, to have a better, safer setup for students and teachers. So there's a negotiation taking place right now. It's very early on in the negotiations. It's really just happening between the White House and Senate Republicans. You had White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin. They were over at Capitol Hill today. They briefed Senate Republicans. You had Mitch McConnell, who was there, and they hashed out kind of their different stances on a coronavirus stimulus bill. Now, nobody appears to be on the same page at the moment. You've got a lot of different people with a lot of different positions, and that's within the Republican Party. That's within leadership at the White House and the president, obviously, and Senate leadership. There's a big difference of opinion in terms of what this bill should look like. That's before you even bring in Democrats, who are certainly going to have their own ideas. Some of the sticking points here, and one of them appears to be this payroll tax cut that the president is pretty intent on, and a lot of Republican senators are not in favor of. You had Senator Grassley coming out and saying that really nobody, voters aren't really going to notice the payroll tax cut. And because, look, you have to view all of this through the lens of politics, because that's what's happening here. We're in an election year, a huge election's right around the corner. So as they're trying to craft this legislation, that's not necessarily in the back of their mind. That's like in the front of their mind. And Grassley was arguing essentially that a payroll tax cut that doesn't really do much for people immediately, they're not even sure it would go into effect in time before the election, do something different where it's more of an immediate impact on the lives of American people so they could potentially benefit politically from something like that. Then you've got Tom Cotton. He's out there and he basically wants Republicans to go big. He's essentially saying, look, this election is at stake here. We need to go big. And if we don't and we lose in November, Democrats are going to end up going big anyway. Once they take control, potentially the White House, maybe hold power in the House, and depending on how things turn out, even add the Senate. Then you've got Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and those Republicans. They're arguing that more spending now will lead to Republicans losing in November. So you've got a lot of different splits. You've got the White House. They want a payroll tax cut. You've got Grassley and some Republicans arguing. In fact, I would say the majority of Senate Republicans not in favor of a payroll tax cut at the moment. They want some kind of stimulus for Americans, but done in a different way, a way that people can more immediately benefit. Then you've got a disagreement between Republicans on the size of the package. And I'll repeat, this is all before Democrats get brought into the process. And they're going to need Democrats in order to get this thing through, at least the House. So there's a lot of negotiations happening. What you will see, you're definitely going to see some money for testing and contact tracing and all of that. Everybody, I think, understands, even the president at this point, as much as he talks about the fact that we're doing all this testing, I think he understands, at least I hope he does, that that's great we're doing all this testing, but if the tests are taking, you know, 8 days to come back, it's really not all that helpful. We've got to do a better job at turning this thing around quick. You know, when the president gets tested, he knows his results right away. You've got people, I mean, I can't even tell you how many people I know, they're waiting 5, 7, 8 days before they get their results back. They've got to improve that system. And the contact tracing. If you want to get this thing under control, that's a big part of the equation. There's like no contact tracing infrastructure in this country. There's no plan. So that's got to be part of the deal. Schools. Reopening schools and getting kids back to school is a huge part of getting the economy back on track. And schools are going to need help. There's just not enough funding at the local level to do some of the things that are needed to make them as safe as possible. That's going to be part of it. Now, you've got the White House. What they want to do is they kind of want to tie the school funding to reopening, and you've got Republican senators. They don't really want to do that because they want those decisions to be made at the local level. So there's a bit of a disagreement on that front. Then we get to what I think, and there's a number of issues I got to run through here, but I think this is the most important of all the issues being discussed. July 31st, the federal unemployment benefits, they run out. And that's a big problem for millions of Americans. And we're talking about millions of Americans through no fault of their own are out of work. And the conditions on the ground right now, especially with the resurgence of this virus, they're not very favorable for them returning to work, either their previous job or finding a new job anytime soon. And that's all contingent, of course, on us handling the outbreak of the virus, which we're not doing a great job of at the moment. So there has to be some kind of extension for unemployment benefits. The question is, how do you do it? I think what they're looking at, what the White House is looking at, what Republican senators are looking at is a form of unemployment benefit. Sounds like the White House a little bit stingier in terms of what they're going for than Senate Republicans. But what you want to do is you want to have some support for people who are unemployed, but you don't want it to go to the extent that if the economy does start to rebound once again, it's in a stall right now because of these outbreaks across the country, but if you want it to start rebounding again, you don't want people to sit on the sidelines because they're receiving more through unemployment benefits than they would if they went back to their job. So you want to bring down, you know, right now the benefits are $600 per week, and that's very helpful to a lot of people. And I got to be honest with you, there were some, including Senator Rick Scott, and I think he still holds this position, that was just too much and this and that. That money, in my opinion, it was going to people who really needed it anyway. So to help tide them over and keep them from having to go to a feeding Tampa Bay or Metropolitan Ministries, I didn't have a problem with that. We're in unprecedented circumstances right now with this pandemic. But moving forward, we have to think long term here. And I think if you cap it at 100% of what the person was earning before, something in that ballpark, then I think that's more doable. And then also you might target it a little bit differently. If you've got huge outbreaks happening in, let's say, Miami-Dade, you know, the job situation there is going to be in a much different position than perhaps Pinellas County, where things are starting to turn around and the positivity rate is coming down. So you might have workers in Miami-Dade who are more in need than in other areas, whether it's here in the state of Florida or around the country, that aren't being hit as hard by the virus, which is in turn impacting the local economy. There are ways to structure it. I'm sure whatever the final result is, there are going to be people on both sides who aren't happy. And I'm sure it's going to be a bit complicated, but that's just the nature of the beast at the moment. The bottom line is we need to make sure those who are unemployed, and we're talking unemployment at record levels here in this country, we need to make sure that they are taken care of and they have something to keep them going while this slow recovery takes place. And unfortunately, you had Steve Mnuchin and you had the White House Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows. They were saying that they thought this package would be done by July 31st. So hopefully there wouldn't be a gap in benefits. But you got Mitch McConnell today, who, when he was asked about that, if it would be done by the end of the month, he let out a big laugh and said no. Now, personally, I don't think that's going to be all that funny to millions of Americans who are going to see their unemployment benefits lapse as a result of Congress not getting an extension passed on time. I mean, I don't know what the hell they've been doing. I've been talking about another relief package for a long time now, since the last relief package was passed, because there were certain things that weren't included in that inevitably were going to be needed. So Congress just kind of sitting on their ass, not getting this done, and now running up against a deadline they're probably not going to hit. If I'm unemployed, I'd be pretty pissed off. I'm not unemployed, and I am pissed off for people who are unemployed. It's just they wasted a lot of time. So that part has to get done. Another aspect of all of this, I think, is going to be help for businesses. What I want to see, it's going to be some form of an extension of the Paycheck Protection Program, because the deadline to apply for those loans is going to come up. I want to say it's around August 8th, and businesses are going to be running out of the initial loan that they got, and there's just going to need to be more money to hold over some businesses while we continue to deal with the virus and get things on track. But I think there has to be some targeted assistance specifically designed for the hospitality industry, because if you look state to state, what you're seeing is bars in particular and restaurants, there are government mandates that are really impacting the amount of business they can do. And I just feel like if the government's going to do that for such an extended period of time, we're not just talking about the shutdown that took place during April. Now, I mean, this is going on for a long time and there's not an immediate end in sight. You have got to do something to help out that particular industry. It's an important industry in this country. It employs a lot of people, and you don't want us to eventually recover from this pandemic and then, you know, our local restaurants, some local bars are just, they're all gone. That I don't think anybody wants to see that. So that's got to be addressed in this bill. And the price tag. Right now, the ballpark number is around $1 trillion. I think it's going to go up considerably from there. I think $1.5 trillion at a minimum. You could be talking $2 trillion by the time Democrats get involved in all of this. I tend to lean towards the position that Tom Cotton has taken. You go big, not for political reasons. That's how he was phrasing it today. I think you need to go big just because this is a moment that requires that. And look, time and time again, I've talked about the deficit and the debt, and that's why you try to get that under control. You address those issues when the economy is doing well. You don't add to those issues like we did. But hey, now you've got to focus on the problem at hand. Yes, it's going to add to the long-term problem of the deficit and the debt. There's no question about that. But it's one of those situations where you got to deal with this first, and then we'll worry about that down the road. Not ideal, but it's just what we have to do. We have got to find a way to keep this economy afloat, to keep people's head above water here. A lot of people, a lot of families, they're drowning right now. And there is a significant gap between where we're at and a vaccine that could be a game changer. Even if it comes quickly, we're still talking months away. You've got to cover that time period, and you also have to think about what could be coming down the road. Could there be a second wave? could it be a situation where you add in flu season with another fall resurgence of the coronavirus, and you're talking about hospital capacity that might have to lead to more shutdowns? Those are things that they have to be thinking about when they put together these kinds of packages. So it's unfortunate that this is all getting thrown together here at the last minute. This is something that should have been worked on over the course of the past couple of weeks, if not almost immediately after the last relief package was passed, because I told you there was going to be a fourth one. There was no question. And then the other thing I do think needs to be included, and this is really going to be, I think, the sticking point. I think Republicans and Democrats can come to agreements on money for schools, on the extension of the Paycheck Protection Program, on unemployment benefits, on money for testing and contact tracing. I think there are deals that can be made there. It's probably going to get ugly. There's going to be a lot of political grandstanding. That's all part of the negotiating process. But I think there's a deal to be made there. Where it gets sticky is assistance for states and cities. And I think there's no question you have to do something. And a lot of Republican senators agree. But you do have others like a Rick Scott. You've got people in the White House. They don't want any part of that because, look, now you're going to have some Democratic cities getting help. And politically speaking, that doesn't do anything for Republicans. In fact, holding that money back is a better position for them. But you certainly see some Senate Republicans, more moderate Senate Republicans, understanding the needs within their states, because the money wouldn't just be for you know, the blue areas of the country. The money's going to go right here in Florida. We would get some. And I think those senators understand that you have to do something, because states and cities, regardless of the fiscal conditions they were in before, they've taken a major hit during the course of this pandemic, and that could lead to huge cutbacks that really, really impact the lives of vulnerable people in the community. Now, I've said from the very beginning, I don't think you write a blank check and just allow cities and states to do whatever it is they want to do with it. I think there needs to be a bit of flexibility so they can tailor it to whatever their particular situation is like on the ground. But I do think there needs to be a mechanism in there that would prevent, say, a state like Illinois from addressing their disastrous fiscal mismanagement that's taken place over the course of the past couple of decades with what's supposed to be money to help them with the coronavirus spending that they've had to do. So there has to be some kind of balance there, but to not provide any kind of assistance to states and cities, that's just not a tenable position. That's not something, that's something that's going to hurt Republicans and Democrats, because believe it or not, it's not just blue states and blue cities that are struggling right now and that are taking a huge hit on the revenue side. It's many Republican states and Republican areas that are taking the same kind of hit. So we're going to keep you up to date on how this phase four coronavirus relief package progresses. I think it's got a ways to go. I mean, you got to get the White House and Senate Republicans on the same page before you go and start negotiating with Democrats. You've got House Democrats, they're going to want to do one thing, and then you got Senate Republicans, they're going to want to do something else, and just trying to come to a deal in an election year, it is a tall order, but it's something that just has to get done for the good of the country.